You're listening to Crossroads International Church podcast. Welcome. We hope this podcast will bless you from wherever you're listening to it. For more information, go to our website at xrgs.nl. And now, let's get into the podcast.
So good morning. It's my privilege again to talk with you this morning. As you might know, we're busy with Life Group Month. And the topic for this morning is about serving. And serving has always been quite a difficult thing. I think for all Christians, what does it really mean? And, you know, getting up from your seat and doing something. And I was trying to think of a story, you know, to just kick this off. And I was thinking about how I grew up as a child, you know, in South Africa, because labor is quite, you know, cheap. You can easily have a person that lives in the backyard of your house that comes in at every moment to come and clean up after you, wash your clothes, pack your clothes, fold your clothes, do everything. You know, you put a cup down, and when you come back, it's gone. You know, it's just magic. And then we moved to the Netherlands. And the Great Awakening started for my children. And I tell you, it's been 2 years of interesting conversations. And I have to say that the topic that comes up every single day of our lives is the word dishwasher. I cannot believe that I have to have this conversation every day of my life. And somehow, it's a fight between the children about, you know, if I pack out one more cup than you, then, you know, I mean, I'm one ahead. So next time, you will be packing out more than I did. And this conversation is real. This is not, I'm not lying. And just a cup standing at the TV or, you know, on the dining table, I've never seen a blind spot as big as that. Walking past a cup, it's your cup. Just, I mean, you're on your way to the kitchen, just. And I saw something about this in my house about serving, that we have blind spots for need. The cup being the need, that we have this tick list, but if I do something for you, are you going to do something for me? How are we going to do this? That we have this self, this voice, our inner voice that is so strong about, but what about me? How are you going to repay me for what I'm about to do for you? If I pack that cup. And I just realized it's incredible how our self-centeredness stands in front of growth, becoming better people. Now, what is serving? And I used to, as growing up as a Christian, when we hear the word serving, you're like, oh, the church is going to ask me to do something for them again. We will at the end, but not now. So it's, I'm joking. But today is really about connecting with God about who you are as a person. Today is a special day for you and the Holy Spirit. And that's all I wanted to remain, because serving is, it's practical, but it's serving is, as you know, Jesus came to this earth and he said, I came to fulfill the law. And he gave us two brand new, well, not brand new, but two new commandments that was very important for him, and he said, love yourself. Love your neighbor as you love yourself, and love God with your whole heart. Those two being of the utmost importance. That is serving. By starting to love one another, to show love, that is serving. Serving with humility, serving the poor and the needy, serving through sacrifice, serving through teaching and healing, and service through forgiveness. These are all captured in our Bible. Yes, it's practical, but it starts here in the innermost, utmost, deepest part of your heart. It starts. And what is it that makes us struggling to serve one another? Just a smile. Just, if I see a need, I need to meet the need. I cannot have this blind spot hanging around my entire life. Our self-centeredness needs to die. Now, we'll be looking today at John 13, 1 to 17, and it's the significance of the washing of the disciples' feet. Now, this piece broke my mind once again about who Jesus was and is, and how I just want to meet some of what he did, because he was incredible. And we all know this. So just a little bit of a background before I go into the piece. Now, this is one of the last meals that he would have with his disciples. A few hours later, he would be hanging on the cross. Now, the people with him in this context, in this meal, were the disciples. But I need to specifically point out that there's a few things in the next few hours that would happen with Jesus. The first one being that Judas would betray him. Peter will deny him, and the rest of the disciples will run away, except for John. So these people going into this dinner, Jesus is planning something. He's going to blow their minds in a few minutes. But these are the people that he's sitting down with. Now, back in the day, back then, you were walking with your sandals and, you know, a lot of dirt and, you know, dust and what have you. So once you come into the house, you sit down and a servant or a slave comes in with a bowl of water, you know, sit down and, you know, starts washing your feet. And it was a very common thing. So it wasn't like, you know, but I mean, I'm sure there wasn't really eye contact with these people because they were slaves. So this is just the setting. Just see this happening right now. And let's start. Verse 1. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During supper, when the devil had already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given him all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. Now, this verse is setting up the entire thing, pointing out, first of all, Judas at that moment was sitting there and he has already made a decision. I'm taking the money. Jesus knew this, first of all. And I always wonder, Judas sitting there at that moment, he's made the decision. What was he thinking? At that moment, he knew, I'm eating supper with Jesus and everything is great and, you know, I'm getting some money later on. Can you imagine? I mean, this is his rabbi, the divine God who has been healing people, and he's sitting there. I just wonder what was going on in his mind. Jesus, knowing that the Father has given him all things, all power is in his hands. Can I throw this question to you this morning? If you were that in that situation, you knew all these people were going to betray you and you had all power, you know, what would you have done? Make a pot of gold and go buy a mansion? Get out of there? All power he had at that moment. Starting this passage off like this creates a setting of he had choices. Jesus had incredible choices. We go on with the next verse. He laid aside his outer garments and taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. Now this is incredibly significant because he rose from supper. Everyone's eyes are on him. And he's taking off parts of his clothes. Now, we need to just make a note in our minds about what's going on here. Currently, he's doing exactly what the slaves would have done in this moment. Now, you are one of the disciples. You see Jesus doing this. What are you going to do? Jump up and your blind spot disappears? I'll wash the cup. Sit down. Jesus is taking off parts of his clothes. He's girding the towel, he's doing what the slaves were doing. There's a specific way of doing this. He's setting himself up for this. Everyone's eyes are on him in this specific moment. And I can only imagine what's going through the disciples' minds at this stage. What is he doing? What is he doing? Can you imagine our King William here in the Netherlands walking into your house, taking the cup from the table and putting in your dishwasher? What will you do? Will you leave him? You will run. You will dive for that cup. Your blind spot disappears. Jesus taking this moment, the significance of him doing all these physical things is so beautiful and so incredibly shocking for the disciples sitting there. Taking on this role, we continue. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" Jesus answered him, "What I am doing, you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet, Jesus." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but my hands and my head." Now, in verse 6, Peter is absolutely devastated. And again, we know Peter, and I love preaching about Peter because he was this loving guy, and he was very impulsive with his words. We've seen so many times where Jesus had to tell him, "Hey, just settle down, calm down." He once told him, "Satan, stand behind me." That's how bad it was. Can you imagine? But Peter was shocked at what was happening. And first of all, he was standing up and he took this moment. "You do not understand." Does this imply that at that moment when he came to Peter's feet that Judas was already, because we don't know the order, but we don't know if Judas was already sitting there and took the washing of the feet. I'm just wondering what Judas at this moment was thinking, sitting, kicking off the sandals, and Jesus down there on the floor washing his feet. He took it. That serving from his Lord, he took it, knowing what he's about to do. And this made me feel incredibly guilty as a person. How many times in my life has people served me, knowing that I might not even do this the same for them? Feeling, well, you're doing it, so you're supposed to do it. On the other hand, we see Peter absolutely devastated about what's about to happen. And Jesus continues to wash their feet, knowing that there will be betrayers, there will be deniers, and there will be cowards running away. And Jesus in verse 7 tells him, "You do not understand, but afterwards you will." He's taking this moment, "Peter, just calm down for a second. Listen to what I'm about to do, because what I'm about to do, you will not understand now. Just take it. Receive this from me. I'm serving you now." Our mighty God stepping down, all power in his hands, on his knees, telling Peter to take this. "You need to take this from me, Peter. You need to learn this valuable lesson about serving today. Because then you will understand." Now, verse 8, Peter tells him in verse 8, "You shall not wash my feet." Now, if you go back into all the writings, they say that these words, for telling this to a rabbi, was unheard of. Peter was so devastated. He was telling, "You shall not wash my feet. No ways. I'm not letting you, my master, my God, the divine God, get to this terrible type of job. I'm not going to let you do this." He's still saying no. He's still not wanting to learn this lesson. And what seems to come out as humility from Peter is absolutely just his inner self-centeredness, not wanting to accept the serving from his Lord. He needed to accept the love of Christ's humiliation in this moment to really understand who Christ was. And Christ wanted to teach him this. The divine self-sacrificial moment Jesus took. He was teaching Peter a very hard lesson. And he ends that part with, "Receive this or you cannot have share in me." This verse, absolutely incredible. If you don't receive this, if you don't receive the serving I'm about to give you, you will have no part in me. And Peter's like, "Oh, whoa. Shocking. All right, fine." Verse 10. He said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head, everything. Wash, just wash away." And again, Peter sort of not wanting to accept the feet part is so important. You know, that's the part that is there to wash. He's saying, "No, everything, just wash everything," trying to upgrade the position to his head and his hands. "No, everything, I want to be part of everything of you." Peter struggling through this process of accepting that Jesus is serving him like this. And Jesus continues, says, "The one who has bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not every one of you." For he knew who was to betray him. That's why he said, "Not all of you are clean." So Judas obviously sitting there, is he talking about me? Can you imagine sitting there and you know in your heart you're going to betray Jesus just around the corner and he says those words, "But not all of you are clean." But he washed Judas's feet, and I'm sure he took the exact same amount of time and care of his feet as he did for Peter and the rest. And he says this. Now, understanding this verse, you know, it's Jesus telling them that you need to understand that I don't need to wash the rest of your body. The rest of your body is your moral life is clean. You believe in me as the Christ, your life, you are saved. But it's the influence of the daily corruption that you walk wherever you are in the world. Walking this path, being influenced by all corruption, all things from outside, that's the stuff that you need to be cleansed from every single day. Jesus is teaching them an incredible, very important lesson. Something that we need to understand here is that your inner self needs to be cleansed on a daily basis. He's telling them that your life, you've been saved, but your feet, your daily walk, you need to wash and be cleansed. If we as a congregation sit at Jesus' feet every day at the end of the day, the beginning of the day, the end of the day, saying, "Father, I've went through this day. My feet need to be washed. I need to get this corruption out." My inner self, my inner voice, the self-centeredness is asking Peter to focus on that part. You have been saved. In verse 11, if Judas only listened to this and followed the guidelines, I wonder if the story would have looked differently for Judas. I think Judas was in a place where he was not connected to Jesus anymore. He made a decision and his blind spot grew. He saw the need, but he was not attending to the need. He was not serving his rabbi anymore. Verse 12, when he had washed their feet and put on the outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, "Do you understand what I've done to you? To you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I've given you an example that you should do just as I've done for you." Jesus took this moment to implement something that has grown into churches worldwide 2,000 years later, still using it as a symbolic way of serving each other. This moment 2,000 years ago, where he sat with some people, some disciples in a room eating, washing their feet, was such an incredible moment that it stuck up until today. The significance of this passage, and for us to understand that no matter who's in your room to serve them, is what it is about. The moment you start serving, self-centeredness dies. Blind spots disappear. Taking on the role of picking up your cup, so to speak, seeing a need and attending the need, not waiting for someone else to do, because this is what we do. We wait for someone else to do it, because there's always someone doing it. But Jesus is calling us all to take up this and do it for each other. Now, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Verse 17, if you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. Now, this is a very common saying in the Jewish culture, and it's also mentioned four times in the Bible, but it basically comes down to that the true glory of a Christian is being as humble as your Lord. We need to step down from who we are to become humble as Jesus. Knowing that Jesus had all of this might and this all things in his hands, he stepped down to this place here. Really taking that upon him, asking the rest to receive it now. If you look at your own life currently, if you bring this home, and I want to close with this, and I want to call Stefan Jonathan to the front in the meantime, I want to ask you to think about your own life. Do you have deniers, betrayers, cowards, people that you do not like, people who do not like you? Serve them. Make the decision of serving. Do you walk into a building thinking that I am owed someone to serve me? Start serving. If we see a need, we need to attend to a need. Do you realize that the moment you start serving, you would summarize the entire commandment of love your neighbor as you love yourself? It's incredibly valuable. And I've asked Stefan Jonathan, he's one of our volunteers. He serves with the life groups, as well as in the kids ministry. And I wanted to, and he's got a beautiful heart about serving. And I wanted to just ask him two questions this morning. The first being, you know, why, Stefan, welcome. Why you chose to serve. This one working? We just need the mic on. I don't want to, you can speak here if you want. I think it should be on. There we go.
There you go, okay. Yes, good morning. My name is Stefan Jonathan. I'm married to Anna, and I have three beautiful children, Nora, 9, Philip, 7, and Miriam, 5 years old. And to answer the question why I'm serving, well, first of all, I'm a product of God's grace. I grew up a Christian family, and I also spent 6 years studying in Amsterdam without God. And actually, through the serving of many people, that played a role in my life. First of all, in the Alpha course, there were people serving in Crossroads, and I really had an encounter with God. And also, when I came here in Crossroads, I really sensed unconditional love. I could be myself, and as a broken person myself, that was what I needed. And I can give many examples, but the most important thing is I was so thankful that I started. I wanted to give this also to the rest, to others. I wanted to pass this on. Mm-hmm. And that was actually why I started doing that. But also because I have 3 children. And before I had 3 children, I also started serving because I saw many children, 15 plus. We need to connect with them. When we connect with the children, it is also answering when we stand up as a congregation, when we have child education, for example, when we say, yes, we will, what does that really mean? If you say, yes, we will. Well, part of saying, yes, we will, is standing up as a volunteer and not being too shy and say, I'm not good for it, because you might discover what you actually really can do in God's kingdom.
Yeah, beautiful. And Stefan, we were talking, when we sat down, we were talking about what serving means to you and what impact it has in your transformation process.
Yeah, in my transformation process, when I was seeking for restoration, I was very self-centered, and I was really focusing on my pains and focusing on my worries and my recovery. But when I discovered that I could really also recover by reaching out and to have an outward focus by serving others, actually that really changed me. Preparing a teaching for a 6+, standing for 24 children, it transformed me, because I could see that sometimes it was aligned with what was preached in the church, but also, for example, we had 20 children in the class already and it was full, and actually we couldn't accept 4 other children. But there comes in a volunteer, that was 2 weeks ago, and we could have another 4 children. So these children, we can connect with them. And if we really want that our children really have a living relationship with Christ, well, then start giving also the example that the own children, their own parents also serve. And so it's an encouragement for yourself, but it's also part of taking your responsibility. And for me, it really has transformed me as a person, and I really feel blessed. It doesn't feel as a burden anymore, even though I have a busy life, and my wife as well. We feel blessed. We feel blessed to be part of that and blessed to be able to serve. And we also know, actually, we talk about volunteering. I would remove the word volunteering, say discipling. And for myself, it's an honor to disciple in God's kingdom. And if we say, let his kingdom come here and now, discipling, volunteering, that's also part of that. So I would encourage you all also really to take that step and not just look at the few volunteers that we have that are serving our 300 children, for example.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. You take it. I want to just end with, it might be a moment where you need to start with yourself. Maybe the love needs to start with yourself. I do believe that a lot of people sitting here might even not summon up the energy to serve someone else. And today is the day. And I want to remind you about our discipleship questions. Where have you been? Where are you now? And where are you going? Let's pray. Jesus, you remain incredible. I stand in absolute awe of who you were and who you are. Holy Spirit, can we ask you this morning to touch our hearts about serving, about who you were at that moment and what you did for the disciples. You took on a role that was by no means yours, but you saw a need in your disciples. There was a lesson to be learned. Holy Spirit, work in us. Show us where our self, our pride, is taking over in our lives. Can you help us, Holy Spirit, to push it aside? Can you remind us to wash our feet daily of the corruption that we deal with? That our inner self would die. Father, create moments for us to see a need and meet a need, that our blind spots might disappear. In the name of Jesus. Let's start with our own hearts. Holy Spirit, would you touch us this morning and show us what we need to do? We pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for listening, and we hope that you have a wonderful week. See you next time.